The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network. Hello and welcome to another episode of Empowered. So today I have a really fun and informative episode for you. I have Ebony from Tiny Harlow joining us today. So I wanted Ebony to come on to discuss how she went from a stay-at-home mum with a side hustle to a highly successful e-commerce business, Tiny Harlow. She has several employees and she's getting her products in the homes of stars like Khloe Kardashian. We also delved into how to cultivate a high-energy workplace, pushing through fear and taking risks, how to deal with copycats and spotting trends. And this was just a really authentic and informative conversation. I love, as always, how Ebony is just super honest and open about everything. Please enjoy my chat with Ebony. Welcome, Ebs, to the Empowered Podcast. Thank you so much for your time today.
No worries. I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you for asking me to join.
I really want to talk to you about how you created your super successful business, Tiny Harlow. And I guess from what I can understand, in 2018, you recognized that there was a trend or a craze with rattan, and you applied that to the accessories for dolls, which is a really just recognizing the trend and applying it to a niche is awesome. So I wanted to know if you could share with us, I guess, how you recognize that and had the balls or the guts to take it on, if you had like a business background or if this was just something that you thought of organically and just went with your gut.
So like before I started Tiny Harlow, I actually had another business that I was doing. I was bored. I was a stay-at-home mum already. I had two children and I was bored. To be really honest, I was just so bored just being at home all the time. So I started a business, and in that business I was selling children's rugs and children's blankets and soft toys and whatever, and just creating a whole random selection of things. Basically everything I wanted for my kids I would make and manufacture and sell to help cover the cost of buying it myself. But what ended up happening with that is, I think that business being my first, it became really like messy, and the direction was just like random. And although it did quite well, like it actually did do quite well. I think I ended up with like 30,000 followers or something like that, and it was doing well. But I ended up closing that business because it just became like a bit like no direction. But before I closed that business, I was pregnant with Harlow, my youngest, who's now almost four, and she had an actual bassinet from Sacred Bundle, that's rattan.
Yeah.
And at the time, Sacred Bundle was actually quite a small business. I think I may have had more followers than her at the time. So, and what happened was I messaged her and said, do you want to collaborate on a doll's bed? Because I feel like your bassinet would look amazing as a doll's bassinet. And people, you know, a bassinet lasts 6 months to put your baby in, and then you have to get rid of it, and they're quite expensive. But like with a doll's bassinet, you can have it in their room for 5 years. It's beautiful and it's trending and it's all these things. And I think at the time she didn't really understand why anyone would buy a doll's bassinet. Like, but she was so lovely, and she said, how about we just do it as a collaboration and you share it for me, and, you know, and I'll help you. And she helped me, and she was putting them on the back of her container. So I would order like 20 of them. Wow. She didn't bring them in for me, send them from Gold Coast down to Melbourne, and I'd sell them. And that was on my old business. Mm-hmm. So that's basically how that started. And then I decided one day, I don't know what happened, but I'm a big believer in following your intuition. And literally one day I woke up and I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just too much. The stress, all the emails, all the things, like it was a lot. And I was unorganized. It was only me. I had you know, three young children, there was too much. And I didn't have to do it. I was just doing it because I wanted to. So I decided to close down that business. And when I closed down that business, what happened was I did an announcement on Instagram, and I had literally hundreds of people wanting to, well, first being so sad that we were closing, but then also wanting to buy the business off me. Because like I said, it still did pretty well. It just, you know, it wasn't the way I feel about Tiny Harlow. But then what happened was I ended up selling that business on. Unfortunately, the girl that bought all my designs, she's not still doing it, so I'm not sure exactly what happened. But what happened was she bought all my designs and all my manufacturer details, everything. However, when it came to the Dolls Bassinet, which we had just released, I had to go back to Brooke from Sacred Bundle and say, are you happy to continue doing it with the new owner?
Right.
And she was like, honestly, I only really want to work with you, so could we take that out of the contract and, you know, like you just keep it or whatever. So I kept it to the side only for the reason that Brooke wasn't – she only wanted to work with me, which I totally respect.
Yeah.
And so from there I went and became a stay-at-home mum, which I thought I was going to do, mm-hmm. and that lasted a good 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And then from there people kept messaging me wanting the Dolls Bassinet. So I was like, I'll just open an Instagram account just to sell 20 of them a month. Right. That was the goal. Mm-hmm. 20 Dolls Bassinets a month. I'll make, you know, a few $100 and it will be pocket money and that's it. Mm-hmm. And within like 3 months, we were bringing in our own full containers of them and selling them out.
Wow.
And that's where it started, just with that one product.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question. I feel like I just babbled on.
I think it's the most organic story in terms of, you know, thinking that it's something that you would like. And I find that with so many CEOs, business owners, founders of these designs, businesses or services, it's a service that you want, a service that you need, a thing or product that you want and that you personally need and that you think that your child or yourself will benefit from, and you create it, and then there's a demand. And when you see that demand, you know, you act on it and you overcome your fears and you can turn this into a business. What I find really incredible about your story, Ebs, is your relationship with Brooke and the fact that she was so open with you and so happy to see you, I guess, turn it into your own business. How did that relationship manifest for you?
It actually ended up being one of the most beautiful relationships between us. So we ended up – we even travelled to Indonesia together to visit the manufacturers together. So she actually gave me the manufacturer's details in the end, which is absolutely unheard of because there's so many – it's not because – we don't give out our manufacturer's details not because we don't want you to do well or we don't want you to have a great business or whatever. There's so many other factors that come into it. Our products are handmade, which means they take a lot of time. Mm-hmm. If you have too many companies using the one manufacturer, your time the time it takes for your products to get made and also the quality, it starts to drop.
Yeah.
And that is an impact that you have to be a little bit selfish with when mm-hmm. sharing these details out. So the fact that she even shared the details in the beginning was something she's told me now she probably would never do again, but it's not because we had a bad experience. Mm-hmm. It's more just because since then, I think in business you do encounter so many times people kind of overstepping the boundaries.
Yes.
And I think, yeah, like I would have to agree with her. Like I'd be very careful who I give my details to
mm-hmm.
because and depending on, yeah, I don't know. There's a fine line, you know, like I would love to help so many people, which is obviously why I've got, you know, with what I'm doing with She's Rising, like that's the goal. I want to help people find manufacturers and make relationships and all those things. But when your own business relies on a manufacturer, if you don't feel like they could fulfill the needs of you plus other people, then I think you have to be careful with how much business you can then give them. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. It's going into a partnership with someone, I suppose, in a way. When you align with a manufacturer, there's such a an enormous amount of trust, trial and error, your time and energy, tears, failures, that goes into finding the right manufacturer for you. And it's really such a personal choice. You've really got to, I guess, figure it out on your own, so that if it blows up in your face, it was your mistake, and you know, you can go through that trial and error process. I think that's why most people wouldn't disclose manufacturers, as well as, you know, what you touched on in terms of their capabilities and how much they can take on. But that's why I wanted to know about Brooke. And, you know, I've met Brooke and she's just so lovely. I've worked with her with Lola's little girl bed, and she's, Clay met them too, the couple, and couldn't speak higher of them. And to hear that that's how you started, like, that's just amazing. Like, what a legend.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad it worked out well for both of you.
And yeah, and you know, it's funny, there's a product that I was doing that was really quite popular with Tiny Harlow, and I stopped doing it, not because of any big reason, but because I wanted to stick to Doll's products.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I stayed in that one lane. Mm-hmm. Because it's much easier to target one
area.
You know, I just feel like it's better for business. But anyway, and then I went on, I actually had quite a few people try to buy that design off me. And in the end, I ended up speaking to Brooke, who also wanted to buy it off me, which I would just never take money from her. And I've been able to then to gift that back to her, which then made me feel like I could give something back, because I know, first of all, she'd do it absolute justice, but it's not the whole reason for me stopping that product had nothing to do with it not being an amazing product. There's just so many reasons why I didn't want to do it anymore. But rattan in general at the moment with the current climate is just so expensive to import. I've hardly been bringing it in lately, because just the shipping alone, it's so far into the profits, it's hardly possible to make money, really, especially if there's
totally
any quality issues. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's a really hard time. Shipments are costing more, like all of the deliveries are costing more, but then also the actual materials are costing more. There's just so much price increase and fluctuation in that space that it is making it almost impossible for small businesses to actually earn anything. So I'm totally hear you on that, and it is a really difficult time to navigate. I wanted to talk to you about, because I understand that it takes a certain type of person to really go for something like this, because as we just said, it's so difficult. There's always challenges in owning a business. It's literally the most exhausting roller coaster. Your heart has got to be in it. And you seem like someone who has such a beautiful energy that you bring into your workspace through your dances and through, you know, trying to cultivate that uplifting, beautiful energy that you do. So I wanted to know how important that is to you, and why that's important to kind of raise the morale of the team, and also how you overcame any sort of, like, if you struggled with self-doubt, because you seem like such a confident person, but I'm sure you've had those moments where you've questioned yourself.
Yeah. So I think with our team, like, it started out with Tiny Harlow started out with just me. I think originally it was me and Lizzie, who's my VA. She's basically my personal assistant. And I hired her straight away, because in my last business, it was the emails and all
mess
of that stuff.
Yeah,
I'm not the most organized person. I'm extremely creative but very messy. Mm-hmm. So I had her on board straight away, which has been amazing, because she's been able to help me create processes and whatever. And then I got Tegan, and, I mean, I think I've got 7 girls now under me, which is amazing. But one of my biggest things is, like, I hire people not based on, like, a standard process of, like, come in and I'm going to ask you questions about your you know, educate, and there's nothing wrong with all of this. That's just, I'm not structured like that. Mm-hmm. I speak to people and I vibe off them. And if you've got a good energy, like if you've got a happy energy and a good energy, like I want you around. And the thing is, if people are happy in their workplace, they work a lot better.
Yeah.
I let the girls have creative input on things. I ask them for their opinions on things. If they don't, like, it's a very flexible workplace. Like, I want people to be happy here. Mm-hmm. I don't like negative energy around me. I'm not for drama. I'm not interested in any of that. And honestly, the girls that we have here, they're all uplifting, and we want the best for each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anyone else as well. But I think that's really important. So I don't even know how or why I do that. I just it's just who I am. It's just what I want to be around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in regards to how I've overcome my own fears and those kind of things, I think it's just come from an understanding that, you know, people, especially negative thoughts and patterns, like a lot of it comes from your environment and, you know, how you've been brought up, and kind of society tells us what we can expect from life. You know, and if you come from a family that works 9 to 5 and gets a standard job and doesn't take risks and, you know, makes sure that they budget everything and whatever, then you're going to be brought up in an environment where that's the way you see things to be. And if risk taking isn't part of what you've ever seen in your life, then it's mm-hmm. going to be hard for you to say, oh, let me go and put $20,000 of my life savings on this one, you know, fire in my belly. But and even for me, I didn't – the way I grew up, I came from quite a poor upbringing. My mum was a single mum. And, you know, I talk about this a bit where she used to say to me things like – and I actually specifically remember, like, you know, life is hard, and if you want good things in life, you're probably going to have to marry a rich man and mm-hmm. things like that. And honestly, I believed that for a long time. Mm-hmm. And – it wasn't until my environment changed and I was around other people where they had their own businesses, and then they seen something in me, and then they said, you know what, Ebs, you should start this. Like, you've got it. Like, you should do this. And then I started to see it in myself. But for me, it took being around other people that already had those qualities for me to see those qualities in myself, because all I'd known before that were people that, you know, didn't take risks. No, I didn't. There was no business owners in my family, in either side. Like, I can't remember anyone in my family being someone that took risks like that. So, and even still to this day, my parents will make comments like, "Are you sure, Abby? Like, what if something happens with the business? Like, should you be doing that?" And it's like, "Mum, Dad, like, it's fine. Like, you know, that's the way I live. Like." This, everything's a risk, you know. Even at any stage, I could lose everything. But I would rather that, for me, it's like, this is my passion, and I would rather put everything on the line to run with what's inside me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So I don't know. I think the biggest thing is you really need to learn not to listen to the noise, and also, like, the negative things that other people will put on you, like, that's them projecting their own fears. So, like, I think a lot of people will say, like, when they first started their business, friends and family can be the worst people to take advice from, because even though they want the best for you, sometimes it comes at the cost of them projecting their fears of what might go wrong onto you, and it's not helpful, because we're all different, and we, you know, we all have a different set of skills. If you're somebody that can't deal with high-stress situations, I would not recommend starting your own business. At all.
No.
You have to be able to deal with stress and be able to, you kind of need the attitude, it is what it is. If you can't fix it, you have to accept it and find a way around it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be okay with it. You, if you're the type of person that a problem happens, you can't fix it, and you're going to be angry for months and not going to get over it, do not start your own business. You have to let things go, because there's problems. You know, you've got moral issues, you've got, environmental issues, you've got, like, if you have one mistake made in production of products, especially when you're importing so much, you know, you have to think, okay, can I sell this if you're not happy with the quality of something, can I sell this? You know, you might have 10,000 units of something. What do I do with it? The manufacturer, even if they do refund you the cost of that product, they're not going to refund you the $20,000 it costs you to bring it in here.
Mm.
So there's all these ethical things that come up, and you have to really think about how to address those issues. If you're not someone that can deal with problems, then a business is not for you. That's what I really truly believe, especially if you want to take it big. But I have a pretty good way of dealing with stress, and I don't know if it comes from my attitude of I've had nothing before and I know I was still happy. So now I've got things, and if I lose them all, I know I'll still be happy. So it's kind of that attitude, but that doesn't work for everyone. It just, for me, it does. It's like I don't need the things to be happy. You know, I don't think I'm going to lose everything either. I actually really believe in myself. So it's just that I know if it did all fall apart, I'd still be okay.
Yeah, you're not letting those fears consume you, and you're not led by fear at all.
No, not at all. And I'm sure I was at some stage, but I'm just, yeah, like I'm not. I don't even know. Like I haven't even really thought about that, but I just think what's the worst that can happen? And if you think about all the situations where the worst happened, you still find a way to keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the worst thing happening actually creates, like I had our stroller covers. The last lot came and the Velcros were made too short, which means we had to unpack thousands of them, and I've had to hire a seamstress to come in to Tiny Harlow. So now I've got another worker that's a seamstress, and she's fixing them all. But what I realize is now I have a seamstress in my office. I make doll's clothes. At any stage I can say, can you make me this sample so I can send it direct to China? And if I'm not happy with it, she can alter it until I'm happy with it. Rather than going back and forth with China, which might take me 3 months to create one little outfit, I've got someone in my office. So every time there's a problem, there's also so many amazing things that can come from that if you learn from it. So you've got – the way I look at it is there are no – failures, there's just lessons and wins. So if you're not winning, you're just learning lessons. And I think that's the way you have to look at it. The biggest problems create the biggest lessons.
Absolutely. I think in a nutshell, you're saying as a business owner, you've got to be good at pivoting. I think
100%
rings true even for today's current climate. It's just like, oh, okay, there's so many people, you know, being affected by COVID, whether it's delivery delays, staff getting COVID, people needing to be in isolation because they're immune compromised, there's just so much to navigate, and you've got to pivot every single day and find solutions. And if you don't, I mean, what? There isn't really an option to not. It's like your hands are being pushed to make a solution.
The people that don't pivot and that aren't flexible, they shut down.
Mm-hmm.
That's their only option. And you know what? I think it comes from them just not being able to handle that pressure. And that's okay. Not everyone was born to be an entrepreneur. Some people are better in second in charge where they're not risking their life savings. You know,
I agree.
Not everyone is made for this role. And I think a lot of people look at me and think she's absolutely nuts. And I literally my petrol is – will be like on empty and I'll still be driving and I'm like, am I going to make it? Like that is how I live. I don't recommend it for everyone, but I can kind of deal with the mess of that.
Yeah.
You know, like, but yeah, I think you definitely have to be flexible. You have to be a flexible person to deal with and be able to switch off when you need to switch off. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes I'll say to Lizzie or Tegan, don't talk to me about that problem anymore. Give me a day. I don't want to talk. Like we've talked about it for an hour and it's fried my brain. Mm-hmm. I don't want to keep thinking about it. I'm going to switch off. And I just do.
Yeah. Going back to what you were saying about how it's not for everyone, I think that's a really important message. And I see it on TikTok and Reels a lot where it's like, do you want to start your side hustle? And do you want to be an entrepreneur and work for yourself? Like 9 to 5 is overrated, blah, blah. And it's like, it's actually not. It's actually a really stable option for people who don't want to be under constant stress, because as a business owner, you are constantly thinking about it. Like, yes, you can compartmentalize and yes, you can try to switch off, but you are kind of at the baseline, always considering the next step, always aware that people's livelihoods and incomes come from you, the boss. And yeah, it's constantly there. It's not like, oh, I switch off at 5 o'clock and I don't even think about it. So if that's not for you and you thrive in an environment where there's teams and there's processes and systems in place, like that is so successful. Like if that's exactly what you want.
And even if you're just the kind of person that can't cope with their washing not being folded and put away, then it might not be for you, because there are times where you have to forget that you have washing because you have to be at work. Mm-hmm. Like there are times where you have to put everything else on the back burner. Mm-hmm. You know, my kids are warehouse kids. Mm-hmm. They've had to be, because especially now as a single mum, like there are times where, like, I'm lucky enough now that I've got enough girls that, like, today Casey's taking them out to Latitude or Time Zone or wherever, and that's what her work is for the day, just taking my kids out so I can actually concentrate. But, you know, there are times where I just have them in the warehouse and, you know, I might walk over and Harlow's drawn on 10 dolls on their faces. And, you know, if I was like a super stressed out person that couldn't just accept facts, that would be like detrimental to me. But, like, you have to be – you just have to be the type of person that can just –
go with the flow.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm very much like you. I always drive on an empty tank and, like, yeah, a lot of my friends are the exact opposite, including Clay, my husband, and they just look at me like I'm a nutcase, and I'm like, yeah, I'll make it. It's all good.
And what about your workers? Do you find that you hire people that are opposite to you, like that are way more structured and more organized?
Yeah, I mean, Ash is my right-hand gal and she's super into processes and spreadsheets, and she's teaching me all of that stuff all along the way so that I can adopt that mentality. But I think it is about hiring people that have different strengths than you, you know, like 100%. Same energy but different strengths, I think is so helpful, because then, they're bringing something to the table that you can't. And, same with – I mean, Erin's probably similar to me, but she's also creative, and that's my graphic designer. So, So I wanted to talk to you about how you deal with, because I understand that there's been huge companies that blatantly copy, you know, your hard work and your intellectual property. And there's ways around it. They find loopholes because they've got the best of the best team behind them. How do you not feel completely defeated? Because not only does this happen to businesses like yours, I see it all the time when it happens to clothing labels that find their designs on like AliExpress, and I feel so bad for them. Like, I just don't. Just blows my mind that people can do that and it's legal. And then they can sell it for a quarter of the price. Like,
I think the thing is, like, it's never going to be easy when this happens to you. But the fact is, if you want to be in business, it's and if you do well in business, it's going to happen to you at some point, and it's something you need to accept. I think you can look at it differently, and I think perspective is so important in business anyway. Rather than getting upset about it, I think there's a few things you can take from it. When the big companies start copying you, you need to realize that this is the universe telling you it's time to pivot, because your cycle is coming closer to its end. Think about it. When Rattan and it's not saying that it's out of fashion, but it's not going to be what it was. The big boom that you just had the last 3 years, once Kmart's onto it, it's done. It's going to end. The same, you remember when copper and marble were like the big thing? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is what happened. So first of all, realize it's time to pivot. Mm-hmm. And which is what I did as soon as that happened, and I started working on my nappy bags and my strollers and all these other things. But also take it as a compliment. That is a massive thing. To have these massive brands find you and be inspired by you is huge. Like, I think it is something you should be proud of. And it is something, you know, it's something that you should feel like you've done something amazing. I know some people find it hard to go take it as a compliment, but it is a compliment. At the end of the day, you cannot reinvent the wheel. Like, we can't all say, but that was mine. A lot of us might have the same ideas. Do you know what I mean? And I don't even get affected by it anymore at all. Like, I really don't, but that's because I've learned to stop taking things personally and start just seeing them as a business thing. And and the other thing I think is it's not just about the product. You know, here's a bottle of water. Now there's about 500 different brands that sell this bottle of the same thing. It's the same thing. It's a plastic bottle with water. Why would they buy this one? It's about branding. It's about brand awareness. It's about how you sell your product. It's not just about the product itself. So, you know, packaging, all those things. So I wouldn't worry about it affecting your sales, because I don't think it affected our sales at all, to be honest. I think it's just about how you present yourself and know that when people are buying from you, they're not just buying that product. They're buying the whole experience. That, you know, when people buy from us, I feel like it's a lot about them being part of, like, our Tiny Harlow community. Like, they feel like they're, you know, just the Instagram community, and, you know, seeing that they've got the whole range, and it's like a family. Like, it's not just going to Kmart and picking something off the shelf and just being another number. Like, I know when I see my customers' names, I remember them. You know, like, obviously I can't always speak to them all one-on-one, but, like, I think it's more than just the product, and people need to remember that and try not to get – I mean, it is just a fact of it. So you kind of have to accept it, don't you?
Yeah, it is just like surrendering to it and accepting what it is. And, it's one of those things that's, like, super flattering, but, like, I like that you know, you've used it as a sign to create something new. You know, that's really cool, because I think that's – it's like it's a part of the process of letting go and going, okay, well, what else can I create? What else can my mind come up with?
The other thing is as well, like, we're all inspired by things, even if we subconsciously don't realize where we noticed that we were inspired by that trend or whatnot. Like, trends happen by like collectives being inspired by something and then all starting to do the same thing. Yeah. So it is kind of expected. And if the trend didn't happen, I mean, if the rattan trend didn't happen, would Tiny Harlow have ever reached its potential? If I was the only person doing a rattan doll's bassinet, would it have reached that potential? Maybe not. Maybe that helped kind of, you know, not necessarily the big companies, but, like, I feel like the smaller companies almost are worse when they copy you than the bigger companies, because the bigger companies almost always make a worse quality product. So at least you have that to stand on.
Yeah.
You know, because especially the cheap big companies, like, I mean, that's not even real rattan. It's polyplastic. Like, you can't compare the two. In my opinion, you can't compare the two. Yeah. But so it never felt like it didn't really
it was actually competing with you. Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't feel like that. But, I mean, at the same time, the people that were going to buy the $20 dolls bassinet, I was for me, especially growing up, like, with a single mom, and we didn't have much money, and we were in commission housing and whatnot, it's nice that there was an option for them, because, yes, our products are expensive. Not everyone can afford them. Mm-hmm. And those kids still, you know, I think I just see things from so many different angles in so many different colors. It's like, I'm not just black and white. So part of me is like, oh, well, at least they had an option, because they probably wouldn't, they were never going to buy from me anyway. You know, there's it's a different customer base.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. That's an awesome way to put, like, an awesome perspective to put onto it. So you share daily stories and people get to see an insight to your life and your beautiful personality and your dorkiness, which, you know, we all just adore about you. And you've also been very transparent about running a business. And so that's where, I guess, again, organically, you've taken the step to creating She's Rising. What do you have in your mind for that? What are you trying to create, and what can people expect out of this platform?
So this, I feel like this is really a passion, like a massive passion of mine, because as a woman, I don't think I actually realized until I started my own business how behind we are as a society when it comes to women being able to create an income and at least an income that they could even live off by themselves. And, you know, with when you've got children and whatnot, and like I mentioned before, I'm recently separated. It was not a bad separation. And the thing is as well, like, it doesn't have to be. Sometimes people just, you know, they get together young and they realize it's not working. And there's so many women and men stuck in relationships because it's a one income family, or you know, these kind of things. And it's not the only reason that I started this, but I really feel like women need that safe place to go where they can do, if they want to do something. If you want to be a stay at home mum, that's cool too. Like, I'm down for that. My sister's a stay at home mum and she loves it, and she's super organized and clean in her house, and we're two totally different people. But if you want to make your own money and you want to be independent and you want to be self-sufficient, women should have that same opportunity that men do. You know, like, any man could really go into a trade and still make a really decent wage for a week. But there's not really those options for women. But women on Instagram are, like, completely taking over. And you don't have to be a big – you don't have to end up in a big warehouse and have a team of seven people. It can just be like my last business, where it's just you at home. You know, you get a small shipment and you send them out to, you know, 20 customers, and you make your little bit of money as a side hustle, and then maybe you've got another job that you do part-time hours at the – whatever it is. Like, it doesn't – but if there is something you want to do, or you have a passion, like, we want to create a place where you can come and have the support and have – like, it's basically like a network where, you know, we have people that we can recommend you to that can help you in certain areas, and hopefully we can help you in-house as well, which is especially with manufacturing, finding your manufacturers, creating your samples, setting a plan. Because as you would know, you import also. Like, when you are importing a product, it's very easy to go on Alibaba and go, oh, okay, I'm going to buy 200 of this and it's going to cost me $5. Then you have to take into consideration that it's US dollars. It's not Aussie dollars. So you're going to times that by 1.3. We're now at $7.50. But how much cubic meters of stock are you bringing in? Because you now need to work out your freight. But on top of your freight, it's not just your freight you're going to pay. You're going to also pay duties and GST when it arrives. There's different duties and GST depending on what products you've got. There's... you know, there's so many more things that come into this. How are you going to price that product? By the end of it, you might have a product that you've just brought in that is too expensive for you to sell at a retail product because you didn't know what you were doing. Mm-hmm. You know, and this happens a lot. People don't realize that when the products arrive here in Australia, they may pay the shipping to their manufacturer, and they don't realize once it arrives here in Australia, you're going to get hit with a massive bill of duties and GST and all these other things. That could literally be the end of the line for a lot of people. They might not even be able to get the goods released because they don't have a spare $5,000 or $10,000 in the bank. So I think these are things people need to know. So one of the services we want to offer is just a basic
template,
kind of guide, where you can tell us what you want to do and your budget, and we can basically say, realistically, this is how much it will cost you for your first order to do what you want to do. If you want to have your own design or your own mold made, it's going to cost this. Or if you want to use one of the designs they've already got, it's going to cost that. But at the end of the line, once the container's unloaded and gone, and it's at your doorstep or your house or wherever, because they may not even have anywhere to store the stock, they need to think about all these things, which sometimes is a bit of an afterthought. Like, then we can kind of give you an idea of what it's going to cost to start that. And that's just from experience and understanding how to kind of calculate all of these things and give you a good ballpark figure.
As you said, there is a rise of women, and in particular mothers, who are trying to monetize their presence on Instagram, whether it's through product, service, or as a content creator. And I think there is not enough support and conversation around this, because I've seen a lot of women start it and not – it's not sustainable because of the oversight that you've just explained. So I think there is such a need for something like this. So I'm really excited to see you launch it. And I think so many women will get so much out of it. Time for our final question. Just to ask you, I guess, for any woman who is hoping to start something, what would be your number one piece of advice?
I think it would definitely have to be to limit how much you listen to the noise. And by that is like limit how much you let other people's opinions impact your decision. Like if they don't have to understand your business vision, you know, how many people, as even family members, when I started Tiny Harlow said to me, oh, why would anyone spend that on a doll's bed? Why would you even waste your time doing this? Like, and I'm telling you, family members literally saying that, you know, and it hurt, but it actually kind of gave me more fire. But some people, it will just break them. Don't listen to that, because when you've got a passion behind something, I feel like you can do amazing things. And there are other people that will want those things as well. Like, I would say limit how much you take on from what other people say, and surround yourself with successful people, positive people, and people that want the best for you.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Ebs. I'm going to link Tiny Harlow and She's Rising on our show notes so that people can find you there if they don't already follow you. And yeah, I appreciate your time so much.
Thanks so much, Rev.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Ebony. I know I learned a lot from her, and just really enjoy someone in this space that is so open and honest about her experience as a business owner. If you wanted to check out Ebony's page, it's linked in the show notes. And I'm going to leave you, as always, with our weekly affirmation. So take a deep inhalation in and repeat after me. I release the limiting beliefs stopping me from achieving my goals. That was lovely. I hope you have a wonderful week, guys, and you'll hear from me next Sunday. Bye.